This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On today's roundtable, a last goodbye to former Texas Governor Ann Richards and CNN's Nancy Grace in the midst of a firestorm. Did her interview about a kidnapping go too far? Joining us today from our New York bureau is Bob Meadows, writer for People magazine. Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, is in our Chicago bureau. And from Nashville, Tennessee, Jeff Obafemi Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle, is at Spotland Productions. Thank you all for joining us, and let's go straight to the first topic. Mourners from across Texas and the nation said their formal goodbyes yesterday to the late former governor of Texas, Ann Richards. About 500 people, including Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean, actress Sandra Bullock, entertainer Lily Tomlin, and U.S. Senator Hillary Clinton, attended the funeral. During the service, Senator Clinton shared a portion of the conversation she'd had with Governor Richards as she contemplated running for the New York Senate seat.
Ann said to me one day, she said, "Well, do you know yet whether you want to run?" I said, "Well, that's what I'm trying to decide." She said, "Well, it has to be from deep inside you. Do you want to do it? Do you want the responsibility? But don't make the decision because you think it would be hard. That goes with the territory. Make it because you want it." Ann Richards sent out a message to young women that is reverberating today. Set your own course. Dream your own dreams. Go places where you want to go, even if nobody has gone there before. But never forget, you're no better than anybody else.
Jeff, when you hear someone like Hillary Clinton talking about Ann Richards, what does it conjure up about, you know, how female leadership has progressed in American politics?
Well, I think it conjures up a good feeling for me in a number of ways. I think that Ann Richards' legacy is well established. She was very fearless, quite a remarkable woman. I know many of us in the African-American community really point to women in our own families and communities who are strong and fearless, but who never got an opportunity to be recognized. She represents a woman who was recognized in the mainstream as such a remarkable woman, a person of conviction who wasn't afraid to put herself out there. Some people say we don't need that anymore, but that's exactly what we need. We need polarizing figures that define American politics. She had some great one-liners. She created a legacy for minorities and women in the state of Texas during her short tenure as governor. And I think she was a role model for women, love or hate her positions that she took at times.
You know, Laura, it strikes me that polarizing figure is something that applies to Ann Richards and also to Hillary Clinton. Ann Richards was beloved by many, but not by all, and she eventually lost her seat to George W. Bush, who, of course, now is our president. If women are controversial, sometimes they don't get the same leeway that male politicians do. What is your sense of how an accomplished, strong figure like Richards, a no-nonsense figure like Richards, who always talked about women having to do the same things men do, but backwards and in high heels, how did she affect American politics?
Well, I think that the message there is that she learned, she came along at a time when it was really tough for women to be assertive. A tougher woman to be pushy, a tougher woman to be tough, which was something that you had to do to get to where she was. She got to. So obviously she was extraordinary. But she was always, the message was always, don't try to outboy the boys. Don't try to, you know, do what the boys do because you are going to be vulnerable and to criticism in a way that men are not. And she was also able to overcome this nagging reluctance that I think we continue to have to accept women in high administrative positions in government. It's one thing even for them to be congresspeople or senators as a Hillary Clinton. But when you start talking about running a state government, when you start talking about running the White House, there's a lot of reluctance there. I think she continues to be a role model for how you can overcome that. She was also vulnerable. She, as you know, Farai, she had her enemies. She had her critics. She was a recovering alcoholic. She had personal problems in her life. And that made her, I think, even more larger than life and even more of a role model for young women today.
Bob, you know, there are so few women even now in the House and Senate, you know, roughly 14% compared to women being 51-52% of the country. Mm-hmm. Have we really come that far in terms of female leadership on the national level?
Well, I think we'll really see in 2 years when Hillary perhaps declares her candidacy for the race. Condoleezza Rice is actually being considered. She's somebody who Republicans may even consider to be a viable candidate on their side. I think that's really when you're going to see it. You don't necessarily see it when the pioneer is doing what they do. What you see it is when the seeds that they planted start to grow. So we'll see if some of her seeds that Ann Richards planted begin to grow and take fruit, especially in 2008. One thing that I do think about Ann Richards, though, she was really known, as people have said, for her wit. That line against George Bush the senior about how he was born with a silver foot in his mouth. But what I really wish is that she had been able perhaps to be a more popular politician in Texas, because she was a really popular person. But she wasn't really that popular a governor. She only served one term. And had she been more popular, perhaps she could have staved off this George Bush the second attack that came and we're under now.
Bob, but do you think that being more popular for a woman requires being more deferential, being more feminine? You know, Ann Richards was a bit brassy and she aggressive. And you know, what people call in men assertive, people call in women aggressive.
Well, you know, I do believe that at the time, as Laura pointed out, the time she was coming up, Ann Richards was not a born politician. This wasn't something that she aspired to when she was younger. She was actually a teacher, and then she was a homemaker for quite a while when she was married. So she didn't understand, maybe, that you had to kind of duck your head a little bit. And so she was brassy. She was pushy. But that enables Hillary to be pushier than she may have been 15 years ago.
The thing I think is interesting about comparing Hillary and Ann Richards is that, again, that vulnerability. Hillary is obviously has a lot of negatives, but a lot of them center around her personal life, and we know what that's all about. And some women and men criticize her for not standing up to her husband and to all his flaws. Some folks empathize with her. And this is a time now when we'll see again in 2 years, but this is a time now where it's okay for women to not be perfect and to have these vulnerabilities and for that to be even an attractive quality.
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think it's an attractive quality. Forgive me for cutting you off, all right.
No.
But I was just adding that it's got to be a unique conundrum that women find themselves in. I think it's a conundrum that I, as an African-American man, have found myself in, coming from generations of having people who want you to assert yourselves, but having certain situations where you say, hey, don't look a guy in the eye. If you get pulled over by a policeman, this is how you have to act. I find that women, by and large, are relegated to having to act like that, too. It's a shame because, and I often get in trouble for saying this, I say that women are smarter than men. And the number one way they prove that is by making us think we're smarter than you are. So
thank you
that's,
very much.
but it's such a good psychology that we end up being tricked as men in a male-dominated society. We end up thinking that we are, in essence, smarter. So we lock out opportunities, and some women buy into that. So that when you see a Hillary Clinton or you see a Governor Ann Richards or you see a Condoleezza Rice sometimes, you hear other women saying that she ought to sit down and shut up, and I'm not going to vote for a woman to be president. So I think we still have a ways to go before we break out of the notion of women needing to be relegated to being beside or behind a guy to be a leader. I think they have to continue to find creative ways to open up those doors so that we can see that it's best to, you know, just like when you go to the club, it's best to go where the women are because they're smart.
You know, one thing that I believe Gloria Steinem said, and I may be misquoting, is that I've never heard of a man ask how to balance work and family. That is something of a feminist saying. So I think that women in politics may be held to a higher standard about how they comport themselves in their personal life. Laura, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. And Ann Richards, again, is a symbol of someone who was able to meet that standard. And there's, you know, I think that's true, but I don't think that really matters in the end because, you know, men are expected to be more macho. Men are expected to be tough in ways that women are not expected to be. So I think that extraordinary people like Ann Richards, like Hillary Clinton, that they get to this level, the balancing act is, it may be an unfair challenge for them, but it's a challenge that they've got to meet if they want to get ahead.
Let's do a little bit of, you know, fantasy political football. If there were, in 2008 or beyond, a Hillary versus Condi match, who do you think would come out on top? Bob first.
Well, I'm going to say Hillary because she's white. Hillary is an extremely polarizing figure, but I think you put a black woman up there, I think a lot of Republicans would have a very, very difficult time voting for her, and I think Democrats would support Hillary, so I'd have to go with Hillary.
Laura?
A lot of black folks would have trouble supporting a black Republican woman, so I agree for the same reason, for that reason.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'll add to that. I wouldn't stray. I think that, I think for a lot of the same reasons, I think Hillary would be the candidate.
No love on the round table for Condi, or at least
I love Condi now. Don't get me wrong.
Love is a human being, but the reality is, you know, the way people perceive things, and people vote these days on perceptions and who's got the most yard signs and who has the best image. And they don't necessarily look at the best policies.
Well, on that, I want to turn to another very hot topic. Former prosecutor turned talk show host Nancy Grace has really gotten into hot water after a woman she interviewed, some would say interrogated, on the air committed suicide. Now she says she's not sorry for her aggressive approach. The woman was being questioned on Grace's show about the disappearance of her son. Here's a clip of the CNN interview.
Why aren't you telling us and giving us a clear picture where you were before your son was kidnapped?
Because I'm not going to put those kind of details out.
Why?
Because I was told not to.
You're not telling us for a reason. You refuse to give even the simplest facts of where you were with your son before he went missing. It is day 12.
With all media. It's not just there, just with all media, period.
The son is still missing. The woman committed suicide at her grandparents' home. The husband, who was estranged from his wife, does not blame Nancy Grace, but some other people are blaming her. Laura, what's your opinion?
Well, you know, some people are, as you say, saying that Nancy Grace's interview might have contributed to her suicide. We'll never know that for sure. There was never, as I understand, there was not a note or something that said, you know, I did this because. You can imagine what kind of pressure this woman, Ms. Duckett, was under. And Nancy Grace might have been a contributing factor to that. But I think the other thing that concerns me is just that little bit of that clip is just not only when you bring, you know, regular people who are in trauma on a television show up against someone who's a very skilled interrogator, it's a complete mismatch, and there's no way that woman could present herself well, so maybe she shouldn't have been on that show. She's just not used to that kind of scrutiny. She's not used to being interrogated in that way. She's an unsophisticated person. But that's why Nancy Grace should have been maybe a little bit more respectful. There's nothing wrong with asking some tough questions, but did you pick up on the tone of those questions, the accusatory tone? She wouldn't even let the woman finish making what it sounded to me like she was trying to say was a reasonable argument, was that the police don't want me to reveal these details. You know, I'm mainly concerned about my child. But you didn't get, but again, it was just such a mismatch that there's just no way she could win in that situation.
But Nancy Grace is known for that. Jeff, I mean, you know, this is her trademark, you know, former prosecutor, tough as nails. Her trademark is doing these kind of attack interviews.
Yeah, of course it is. And when you allow your trademark or your image to define who you are, sometimes you actually believe it. And so you end up going a little bit too far. Two questions in this scenario. One, did it contribute to the suicide? And two, did she go too far? I've been in talk radio for 16 years. And one thing you learned, I learned probably the third week into my first year doing talk show, that all of the callers aren't necessarily playing with a full deck. Hmm. I learned 4 weeks in that all of the guests aren't necessarily playing with a full deck. Present company excluded. Right, present company excluded. And you have to be careful when you're dealing with people who are under duress for any number of reasons. And so when you're in a place where you actually start to believe the hype, then you start to push it and you start to go a little too far. Melinda Duckett said, I was told not to. Obviously, there's been conversation that said that there's an investigation going on, so she's not supposed to reveal certain things to put them out in the media already. She continued to be pummeled by Nancy Grace. So I think, did she go too far? I think she did go too far. And did it contribute? We're still not sure. But I think when you're talking about dealing with somebody who might be stressed, any number of pieces of hay might end up being the straw that broke the camel's back.
Now, Bob, you're at People Magazine, which does a mix of celebrities / public figures and right. people who, you know, for some reason have had an extraordinary turn in their of events in their life, but they really are private figures. Mm-hmm. Do you make a distinction in how you interview them or how much you're willing to reveal about them based on whether they're public figures or private figures?
People who are public, who are used to being interviewed all the time, they know the deal. They know what's going on. They know that if they say something, it's going to end up in the magazine. It might end up many, many places. People who are not quite as sophisticated with being interviewed, people, the common people, I'll put it that way, they don't understand. So sometimes you can step back and, you know, they may say something just totally crazy, maybe totally offensive. You can step back and say, hey, did you mean to say this? Is this what you meant to say? You can give them that benefit of the doubt. And yeah, you don't do that for public people like that. The thing about Nancy Grace, yeah, she's this tough prosecutor. She asks a tough question. She's blah, 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 this type of stuff. And as they say, you know, everything's fun until somebody gets hurt. And obviously that's, you know, this woman's hurt now. She's dead. And it's all about the ratings. And we understand that everybody wants good ratings. But what I found so incredibly tacky is that CNN ran this interview after the woman's body had been found. That is just, there's almost no excuse for that. That's just so incredibly tacky.
So you blame the network more than the individual host?
I blame the host. I blame the network for running it, too. I don't blame the host for this woman's suicide. As Laura said, you can't necessarily connect those dots so easily. But I do blame the host for continuing to push this woman. She's already asked the question 3 times. She says she's not going to answer. So let it go, move on. But I do blame CNN for running the interview after the woman had died and running a little note at the bottom saying, by the way, Melinda Duckett's body has been found in her home. Tacky.
Well, this conversation will continue, and we will certainly keep track of whether or not the boy is found, which may bring some light to the other issues surrounding this case. In the New York Bureau, Bob Meadows, writer, People Magazine. Laura Washington, Chicago Sun-Times columnist, is in our Chicago Bureau. And from Nashville, Tennessee, Jeff Obafemi Carr, host of the radio show Freestyle, is at Spotland Productions. I thank you all for your contributions.
Thank you, Farah.
Thank you.